I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. We end today's show at a campsite overlooking the Chesapeake Bay. We're at Janes Island State Park in Crisfield, Maryland. And for the second straight year, songwriters from all over the country have traveled, guitars and other instruments in hand, to the Wooden Stone Retreat. It's a four-day getaway for people who are both enamored and driven by music. Whether they're longtime hobbyists or up-and-coming professionals, organizers Jen and Scott Smith wanted to create the perfect environment for people to work on their craft with like-minded people and seasoned professionals. When I first arrived, I wasn't quite sure where to go, so I just followed the music. And I followed it to an expansive, naturally lit room in the main building with about a half dozen people sitting through a workshop led by former Atlantic Records A&R executive Wyatt Easterling. The group sat in a semicircle, listening intently to a student's song. There are a lot of folks with their eyes closed and tapping their feet. And over the course of the four-day retreat, there will be lots of workshops, co-writing sessions, and a ton of good old-fashioned camaraderie. Jen and Scott Smith say this relaxed and family-like atmosphere is not only perfect for the creative mind, but it captures the whole vibe they believed was missing from songwriting retreats they've been to in the past.
In 2006, we were invited to teach at the Acoustic Alaska Guitar Camp in Wasilla. And it seemed like an awful far way to travel. It was a week long, going somewhere where we didn't know anybody. Not sure exactly what we were going to teach. And we thought, well, where's our sense of adventure? So we flew out, and it was an amazing experience. There was about 40 people that had come from all over Canada and the United States to work on guitar stuff, and it was great. And we did it again in 2010, and we've been getting busier with the business of songwriting and music as, you know, as our careers have grown. We get more tied up with business, and we realize that we have increasingly less time to spend writing and actually working on our craft and practicing. And we got asked to teach again in 2010, and when we came back, we thought we really should do this with songwriting. That's the hardest thing to get away, and who's going to let you take a week off and just write songs?
Let's back up a bit. See, Jen and Scott Smith aren't just a married couple. They're also songwriting partners. They quit their day jobs back in 1991. They've been performing, writing, and recording with their band Naked Blue ever since. They've released 6 albums and have performed in 6 countries, sharing stages with people like John Mayer, Joe Cocker, Dan Fogelberg, and even Kenny Loggins. Critics have called them heartbreakingly good, and it only takes about 20 seconds into their first song to realize that the chemistry that exists between these two makes great art. But the question in my mind was a simple one. Why bring a retreat like this to Crisfield?
My family has had a house here since 1966, and it's just such a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. This is maybe my favorite place in the world. It's also only 3 hours from D.C., whereas Wasilla, Alaska, you know, people were really traveling a long way. So I thought, I like the aspect that you feel like you're really far removed from your day-to-day world when you're here, but really you're only 3 hours from Philly and Baltimore and D.C. Yeah. So it's accessible, but it really does feel like you're at the end of the world.
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't say end of the world.
Or at least the edge of the water.
Edge of the water.
Right. Scott, tell me a little bit about, you know, once you had the idea, you knew where you wanted it to be. The instructors that you have here are accomplished songwriters and musicians. Their resumes read like a hit list. How do you go from having an idea to creating a retreat that not only songwriters want to come to, but, you know, amazingly accomplished instructors want to come to as well?
I mean, we've had the great fortune of meeting, you know, so many wonderful musicians, songwriters, and artists, you know, over the past 20-some-odd years. You know, and they're our friends, and they're just amazing, and we want, you know, to introduce them to our other friends that want to be as amazing as them, I guess is the beginning of it. And, we've been lucky that they've all said yes. Everybody we ask, and I think there's really something special that happens, you know, no matter what level you are at. If you're a pro and you do this for a living, and you're just, or you're just starting out, want to learn new songs, want to learn how to be a better songwriter. And everybody learns, you know, even as an instructor, and we learned that when we taught in Alaska, that, you know, we walked away from that week gaining, I think, just as much knowledge as, you know, we gave, you know, because you remind yourself as a teacher all those things that you sort of take for granted and you forget along the way of why you do what you do and how you do what you do.
You know, the other thing, too, is that in this day and age for songwriters, at any level, really, you know, you almost have to be your own artist as well as your own PR team, as well as your own business manager. And sometimes the craft of songwriting gets lost in making sure you update your Twitter feed and your website and, you know, book a gig and get new studio stuff and raise a Kickstarter, you know, raise money on a Kickstarter so you can do a new album. So is this really getting back to the craft itself of songwriting?
Well, it's so hard to do at home. You're at home, the phone's ringing, there's email to answer, you have wireless. You know, the wireless is sketchy. I don't even have cell phone signal.
Neither do I.
So I have at least twice as much time every day in this particular location to be writing or thinking about writing. I mean, I'm actually cooking this week, but in theory, I think it requires, you know, you have to have that space and lack of distraction to be creative and, you know, take a moment to breathe and create something really great.
I left Jen and Scott on the docks and walked around the camp. It seemed that in every cabin and at every picnic table, there was seemingly another songwriting team working on lyrics, tweaking a bridge, mastering a harmony. There are more than 20 campers this year at the Woodenstone Retreat, and that number has tripled since the retreat's inaugural year in 2013. I happened upon two fellas from Michigan warming up with a song they had written together. It illustrates that sometimes you don't have to write a song just for the sole purpose of trying to write a hit. Sometimes you write a song to work some things out or to express what words can't.
She's been in this chair for 30 years and you know my heart. I traded places in the drop of a hat, but God don't do things that way.
Tell me your name, where you're from.
Steve Swanson, from Upper Peninsula, Michigan, Escanaba.
Incredibly touching and beautiful song. Tell me about that song and why you wrote it.
It's about my daughter. She's was born with cerebral palsy, been in a wheelchair her whole life. And the emotions that came with that over my lifetime, the joy sometimes, the guilt, the pain, just kept building. I knew I was going to write a song someday, and my friend Chris here, who collaborated on that with me, is the one that finally got me off the edge and said, it's time to write that song. And I kept putting it off, and he came up with a melody and said, here, let's use this for the melody. Which we did, and then after we got started with that, it was an hour later and it was done.
When it was finished, and now when you sing it, tell me about the emotions that you feel when you do.
There's a satisfaction that comes with the completion of it and saying, you know, this is finally something I wanted to do that I was able to do and, you know, felt good about it. And again, with Chris's help here, otherwise it wouldn't have gotten done, and that's the beauty of the collaboration part of it.
Yeah. Chris, when you came up with this melody, where did it come from? Obviously, it grabs you straight off the bat from the very first note. It's very heartfelt, and then the words come in, and it tells this amazing story, and you know, you really feel everything that not only the music is making you feel, but also the words. Tell me about the melody for you.
You know, the melody... It actually started off, I was having a daughter getting married, and I needed a walk down the aisle song. So I came up with this melody that I thought was worthy of walking her down the aisle, and I got about two verses into it, and I thought about my kids being normal, and I thought his kids weren't. And I said, this is going to be a gift to my friend, and I wrote the melody, and I wrote kind of the first verse, and I said, you go finish this, and he brought it back the next day.
Wow.
So,
how long have you guys been working together? Obviously, you're neighbors, but how long have you been writing songs together?
Chris has been writing a lot longer. I mean, I'm just starting right now. I wrote a song 20 years ago, and then kind of got involved in business where I had to put that hobby at the time into the back burner because the business I was in took all my time, focus, and efforts. Mm-hmm. And now the stress for that business is kind of gone, and I can spend more. I have to have a hobby. I have to have something to fall back on, something to do with my time. And that's where I fall back on him because he's gotten me into this again.
Yeah, it's interesting because this retreat is made up of people who are sort of hobbyists as far as songwriting goes. And then there's professionals here as well that's, you know, how they eat and that's how they make their living. You know, what drew you down here to Chrisfield to do this songwriting retreat?
The internet's a wonderful thing. I saw Wyatt Easterling, who's a teacher here, play at a folk festival in my hometown. And I said, that guy is an amazing songwriter. My wife says, I don't know. And I said, well, Google it. And she Googled it and found out that he is an amazing songwriter. So I followed him on Facebook and we became friends. And I saw that he was here. I came last year. There was only 6 or 7 of us. And probably not even a break-even venture for Jen and Scott Smith, who are the absolute blessing to come up with this. And this year you turn around and there's 22 people here. And now they have something that they can really build on. And it's professionals, it's business people, it's people who just want to write songs for their family or their dog. But it's a pretty much a spiritual experience when you come here and write with people that you've never met.
For me, it's kind of self-serving in the fact that I want to find out, is this something that I want to do? Is this something that I can put more time into? And the questions are being answered yesterday and today so far in a very positive way. I'm finding that it's a touching experience. It's like Chris was just saying, it's almost spiritual in the way that I feel this is what I have to do now, and it makes me want to do it more.
Yeah. Going back to that song, the line, "She dances with her eyes," really struck me. It was an amazing bit of songwriting. Have you ever played it for your daughter?
Yes.
And did she dance with her eyes?
Yes, very much so. We played it on the radio, actually, and had her mother tuned into the station. She's 30 years old at the time, 31, I think. And it was very, we recorded it, and it was a very touching experience.
Now, helping these songwriters to find their way, serving as the retreat's instructors, are these three gentlemen.
I'm Wyatt Easterling.
Phil Madeira.
I'm Dan Navarro.
As I mentioned earlier, Easterling has had a storied career on both the business and the artist side of the music industry. Phil Madeira played in Emmylou Harris's band for more than 6 years and has recorded with a long list of musical greats. He's penned songs for the likes of Garth Brooks and Alison Krauss, and more recently, this one, for the Civil Wars.
Won't you take me from this valley to that mountain high above? I will pray, pray, pray to see your smiling face. I will pray, pray, pray.
Dan Navarro says every songwriter struggles to find their way and to find their voice at the very beginning. He says that was most certainly the case for him, until one day he co-wrote a song for Pat Benatar, a little number you might recognize called We Belong, and the song changed his life. But with as successful and busy as these three men still are in the music business, carving out time for a retreat like this is a no-brainer. Here's Dan Navarro.
What I like about doing this is it not only gives us the ability to help people on their way up, or at least people who love the idea of songwriting as an activity, whether it's therapy or career or hobby, to get better and to think about what they do. One of the things I like about it is being able to work with people like Wyatt, who I've known for many years, Phil, who I just met yesterday, and hear how we all approach things. I learn something every time I listen to these guys. And the other thing it does is it gives me the ability to sort of reinforce what I believe and run it through the BS detector and decide whether it still makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. the three of you gentlemen, your collective resumes are staggering. But the true essence of songwriting is that everybody sort of starts at the beginning. You know, the first songs you write may not be the songs you keep. Talk about how you help people through on all points on the scale.
Yeah, for me, and it's interesting to see how the three of us have been operating with we divide everyone up into these groups. And I've got a group in the morning, and Dan's got one, and Phil has one. And then we swap off after lunch. And my approach has been to take them through the ABCs. I've got a little syllabus, if you will, a little workbook that I hand out and literally say, hey, guys, we're going to start with C-spot run. And literally, I will sit there and give them a couple of exercises, and then we discuss it. And that inevitably will take it into a deeper philosophical discussion on the structure of a song, how people approach it, and the different ways to. And once you have the rules and the tools, well, rules are made to be broken, and the tools are there to help you fix what you broke. Mm-hmm. And it's been a fun process, and it's been really a great group of folks here this weekend.
It's interesting because I saw a couple of people carrying around some literature that said The Craft of Songwriting. I think that was the packet you were just referring to, right? And you know, for listeners who consume music, and whether they, you know, really dig the record or whether they just hear it on the radio, I think sometimes people don't realize the work that goes into creating 3 minutes and 30 seconds of something that you'll remember sort of in your sleep. Phil, explain that for people. How do you make it a science, but then make it palatable for people to have fun and dance to?
I'm very esoteric, very philosophical in my approach. And so to me, science, the science that enters in for me is probably psychology, which I don't think about when I'm, you know, you don't think, you just kind of do. You open this, you walk through a door, and most of us, I think probably the three of us would say that most of the success that we've enjoyed commercially would be with a co-writer. The reason that I chose to put people together in this retreat is most of them aren't coming from communities like the ones that we live in. We work in Nashville and L.A. Wyatt doesn't live in Nashville, but he comes there a lot, and I know Dan even does from L.A. So we are all in communities where we know who we resonate with. We, you know, we have the conversation, and I will talk about the process. We'll sit, we'll have, for me, it's, you know, I'll be with Gordon Kennedy or Wayne Kirkpatrick or somebody, and we'll have a conversation. And that conversation, at some point, we're not looking for it to happen. It will render an idea or a hook, and then we'll go get lunch. We'll reward ourselves for gossiping for the last hour, finding the hook, we'll get lunch, come back. And with Gordon and I, we're not superstitious, but we kind of are. We always go to the same place once we have that hook. We go to the same place. And it's like it's what we call a meet and three in Nashville. You know, it's just Southern cooking. And so we have our method, and we find the tune with almost without looking for it. But with the people at the retreat here, they are all coming from really isolated places. And so my thought coming in was, you know, what better way to teach than to learn with someone else?
And somewhere in all that learning together, the folks here at the Wooden Stone Retreat in Crisfield, Maryland, became a musical family here on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay. They dug deep, wrote from the heart, and created something the world will always want, some really good songs to sing. To learn more, click to our website, wamucoast.org. I'm Brian Rousseau, and you're listening to Coastal Connection.